Hart cutting right hand again. And a body shot from Canelo trying to close the show. Can he finish with a knockout?
Oh, and a big stiff right hand there. Moshe will in trouble here. Scardina going to work.
And Joseph Parker has his knockout. Well, that was impressive. I mean, he turned things around quickly.
Matchroom Radio returns for this one-off special episode ahead of a monster triple header around the globe. Now, given the distances and locations involved, we're chopping and changing things up slightly for this episode. On today's pod, we're going to be joined by Joseph Parker, the former WBO heavyweight champion, who's got a huge fight with Junior Fa in Auckland, New Zealand. Daniel Scardina in Milan. He's going to fight Cesar Nunez for the EU super middleweight title. And last but not least, the pound-for-pound king of boxing, Saul Canelo Alvarez. He'll be over in Miami, and he's fighting his mandatory challenger, Avni Yildirim. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Joseph Parker joins us first. Joe, man, great to see you. How are you?
Great to see you, Brian. I am fantastic. It's fight week here, so everything's in place for Saturday, and I feel great.
You know, it's a huge fight. First of all, before we start, I don't just want to call you Joseph Parker. I want to call you by your full name because I'm a ring announcer. So that is important to me. So it's Joseph Lupe Soliai Lauli Ale Male Atoa Parker.
Brother, nailed it. Nailed it.
Spot on. All right. So first of all, I want to just ask you, I haven't seen you since, was it the time we were swimming in Rhode Island with your family?
It was Rhode Island, right?
No, I saw you in Texas, Frisco, Texas, when you fought Shawndell Winters.
So it's almost a year since I've seen you in Texas.
Yeah, it's been almost a year. How's your family doing?
Family's doing good. It was like before Texas, it was Rhode Island, you know, in the spa pool and all that chilling out. And then it was Texas. But the family's doing good. Obviously, the situation, we're not allowed to travel and this and that, it's affecting us. But as long as we're healthy and safe as a family, that's the main thing.
Yeah, how's your lovely mother? She's incredible.
Oh, she's good. Wish she was just... She was at the open workout. Go, son, let's do it.
All right. Please tell her I said hi. I'm also curious, what's the situation in New Zealand like right now? Right now, I'm in London. I'm about to fly out of here to go to Milan. What's going on over there in New Zealand? What's it like?
At the moment in New Zealand, everything, we're at level one, which means life is pretty normal. And just precautions of wearing a mask and, you know, hand sanitizer, this and that. But we're actually quite blessed that we can go around and have freedom. We can see our friends. We can catch up. We can go to the gym and train. You know, for this fight that we're having on Saturday, we're actually looking at having a crowd of 7,000 to 10,000 people. Wonderful. You know, around the world, there's not really anywhere where you can have that. So, again, we consider ourselves very blessed.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into that fight in a second. I cannot wait for this weekend. Joseph, this is such a big fight, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there. So, let's just talk about this fight for a second, how it kind of came together. You know, it's been a long time in the making for a number of reasons. Do you think that the pandemic kind of even pushed it a little bit to happen, you know, because it's just so hard right now for down in New Zealand to get opponents? Do you think that kind of pushed this fight to happen?
I feel like if it wasn't for the pandemic, we wouldn't be having this fight because there's so many other fights out there. And there's, it's great for us. It's great for us New Zealanders to go out there and fight the world. And, you know, he had a different path. I had a different path. But the pandemic made us fight. And I guess it's a great time for us to be fighting now.
So you guys have fought four times, all right, in the amateurs. 2009, you fought twice, I think, right? You guys fought in 2010, and then the last time
go
ahead, ouch. Handle the family.
Sorry.
Not a problem. Wait, are we in one of your skits? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so that's it. Okay, so you guys have fought four times in the amateurs. So twice in 2009, you fought in 2010, and then the final time you fight, you actually came out on the losing end of that, and that cost you your bid for the 2012 Olympics. Are you bitter about that in any way? Is this a grudge match? Like, how do you feel? You know, Be honest, man. This is the real stuff.
Being honest, I was gutted that I missed out on the Olympics, but do you know who I blame for that? Myself. I didn't have proper training. I didn't take it seriously. And I thought, I beat this guy twice before I could beat him again. And then in saying that, he didn't make it to the Olympics too. He got sort of knocked out in the finals. So I feel like this is my, you know, this 2-all. This is the finale of who's the best in New Zealand. He thinks he's the best. I know I'm the best, and I have to prove it on Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, he's undefeated, right? So he's 19-0 with 10 knockouts. He stands 6'5". You're 6'4". You guys both grew up in South Auckland, right? You guys both went to the same church. I mean, I'm wondering, though, I mean, how big is this fight for New Zealand? It's massive. I mean, another thing, though, they're calling it the next New Zealand's next fight of the century, obviously referencing David Tua and Shane Cameron, which is a fight I remember very well. I'm sure you do, too. And I want to ask you about that, because obviously David Tua is Samoan like you. Junior Fa, he's Tongan, right? And I know you guys are both Polynesian, but Samoa, Tonga, there are a lot of differences. So is that kind of a rivalry there? Does that play any part in it?
I feel like there'll be more rivalry outside of the ring with the Tongans and Samoans. I feel like for us, I mean, there's a lot of things that people can say it's a Tongan or a Samoan, but for us, it's just two Polynesians from New Zealand, South Auckland, coming together. Right. We have a lot of respect for each other, but in the ring, it's a different story. Like, I really want to knock him out. I know, because he's been saying that he's the best, and he believes that he'll knock me out, this and that. Sure. I want to go in there and knock him out.
But, I mean, is this fight, like, I want to ask you, because in 2009, you were fighting. And was David Tua the Tuminator? Like, was he a big inspiration for you? And what do you remember about that fight? I mean, that fight was massive.
That was a massive fight. This is a big fight, but the only fight that I can remember that's massive in New Zealand is David Tua versus Shane Cameron in 2009. I remember watching it clearly with my family. About 10 of us or 15 of us around the TV cheering him on. And when he got the knockout in the first round, finish it off in a second, and we were just
I think the referee was lost. Like, he didn't know what was going on. That knockdown.
He was like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
He was like, he called time, and then he didn't know what was happening. But I mean, Tua had that chin, and he just, the hooks, and I mean, the power. What a great fighter he was.
He's a big inspiration, not only to myself, but he's a big inspiration to fighters in New Zealand. Not only fighters, but the public. He was a loved fighter. You know, he's still a loved fighter now, even though he's retired.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there a buzz in New Zealand about this fight? I think this should be a huge buzz. Like, this is a massive fight. Are people feeling
I feel like there's a great, great buzz here in New Zealand. Everywhere we go, people are like, can't wait for the fight, man. All the best. Yeah. Good luck, you know. And then people going Team Park and people going Team Fire. And I'm like, yeah. It's good. But then we had a public workout, and some of the public came to watch us and see how we move and see how we punch that. Right. And just the interest is massive. So that gives us hype, because we know that there's so much hype out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, this is the fifth time you're going to meet, the first time in the pros. The storyline's there, man. The storyline is there. I just think it's great. Now, you guys were set to fight the first time in December, and I know that fight fell through. Supposedly, you had a bit of an elbow injury. Can you elaborate on that a bit? How you feel?
I feel good, man. I feel great. Usually when fighters come into fight weekend, it hasn't been a best camp, but everyone says, I feel great, I feel good, it's been a great camp. But listen, camp is a hard time. You know, you have your ups, you have your downs, you get beaten up in the sparring, you get the best of them in sparring. But at the moment, I feel great. And when the fight was postponed back in December to February, I took that opportunity to get elbow surgery. You know, I had inflammation, I had swelling, and I was able to take out the bone chips. And there's no excuses now. I am fighting fit. I'm fighting strong. I'm 100% ready for this fight. That's why I'm just so excited for it.
So you're feeling good. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Tonight, I was punching the pads in front of the public, and I was just like, man, I feel great.
Yeah. So, okay, this is another thing I have a question about. Like, usually, you know, you're locked away in training camp in Las Vegas, right? Now, this time, obviously, you're in NZ, you know, and it's great because you get to spend time with your family, and this, that, and the third. I mean, that's all great stuff. However, it could be a double-edged sword, right? Like, when you fought AJ in Cardiff in front of 80,000 people, okay?
Yeah.
I remember you saying that, like, you just feel like, so you said you started your camp around 270 pounds. And you were saying, like, and you were saying, like, usually when you go into camp, you should be around 235. So when you went to camp, instead of working on, like, skills and techniques, you were working on losing the weight.
Yeah, exactly. So
has that, I mean, and another thing, too, so I'm curious about, like, as a heavyweight, what do you feel like your ideal weight is? Does it change from opponent to opponent, or is it what's Joseph Parker's ideal weight? How do you do that?
I feel like when you go into a camp, for that camp, I was fat, right? And I went into camp, and my focus was lose weight and look good because you're fighting in front of 80,000. You're fighting in front of a lot of people watching. Whereas now the mindset has changed. Start camp at a great weight. Start camp with muscle so you don't have to work on it. And then work on technique, skills, combinations, things that you have to work on in camp. So the mindset has changed. And I feel like, for me, it's not about making a certain weight now. It's about how you feel. If you're comfortable with your weight, that's great. If you feel strong, that's great. And whereas before, I was aiming to be light. I'm not sure why, because it looks skinnier, abs showing, whatever. But for now, it's just whatever you feel good at.
What is the weight that you feel good at? Is there...
At the moment, I'm sitting at 108.
If you don't want to tell me, it's okay. I don't know.
I'm sitting at 109, 110. Yeah, 110 kgs or 109, which is about 240 to 238. Sure. Yeah. So I'm sitting at a good weight, and I just feel that my body, I'm not forcing it to lose the weight. I'm eating good, resting well, feeling strong.
I'm also curious, Joseph. So talking about Vegas and the difference between having camp in New Zealand as opposed to being in Las Vegas, the quality of sparring. I mean, you've got to have great partners in Las Vegas. How has it been? Has that affected you being, I mean, there's a lot of restrictions in New Zealand. How are you finding decent sparring partners?
You know, there was one thing that we worried about. In Vegas, that's like the mecca of boxing, and there's trainers, there's sparring partners, there's X-Row champs, there's champs. And you have the ability to find great sparring partners to work with and fighters who want to help you and fighters who can fight like the person you're fighting. New Zealand, we're a bit worried, but I'll tell you this, we found some great sparring partners here in New Zealand. We found the sparring partners who gave us great work, and I feel like they gave us some good work and great work and better work than some of the fighters in Vegas. So I've been very fortunate to have them in my team.
That's great. And also, speaking of the fight, I mean, you've spoken quite freely about, you know, being aggressive and fighting on the front foot for this fight. Are you conscious of that? Do you think like you really need to look good in this fight? Do you feel like you need to make a statement performance here?
I feel like I need to make a statement. I feel like I need to look good, but I'm not going to put that sort of pressure on myself. Do you know what I want to do? I feel like if I go out there and enjoy myself and relax and let it flow, that it will just happen. You know, but if you put that pressure on and you go out there, it'll probably exhaust you, make you tired. And if it's not going well, you'll be like, why isn't it going well? I think as a fighter, all the hard work has been done in camp. And once the hard work is done, now it's time to dance. Now it's time to shine. Absolutely. Now it's time to have some fun.
You know, there's a WBO ranking on the line here. And, you know, you guys are both ranked in their top five. But, you know, Usyk and Joyce have been called for the interim title, okay? Given that and the potential undisputed fight with AJ and Fury, you know, do you have it realistically in your head that possibly another world title shot might be a long way down the road? Then again, though, we don't have a crystal ball, and in this environment, you never know.
You never know.
You could be one call away from that shot. So how do you see that? How do you?
My main focus is getting Junior out of the way, and that's what my full attention is on. But I know that Eddie Hearn has painted a picture of promoters with David Higgins. There's Kevin. There's a picture of fighting Junior Fire, getting him out of there. Then there's Chisora. There's the fight between the winner of Usyk and Joyce. There's so many options and opportunities, but none of that counts unless I get rid of this guy.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I'm also, you know, this is, I think at the end of the day, this is my most pressing question for you, Joseph. And that is, and you know, in 2016 in New Zealand, you won the WBA Heavyweight Championship of the World by beating Andy Ruiz. Okay? No one can ever take that away from you. What are your goals in the sport now, going forward? What drives you? What motivates you?
I feel like back then I was, I really enjoyed being champion of the world. But I feel like back then I was doing it more so for others. I feel like I was doing it for my parents, Samoa, New Zealand coach. But I feel like there's a different drive now. I want to do it for me and my immediate family. I want to be champion of the world or unified champion. I've served myself 4 or 5 years.
Beautiful. And let's end it on something fun. Kerry Russell. Let's talk about Kerry Russell. Let's talk about these videos. So, you know, the award-winning video guru, Kerry Russell, obviously your stuff has gone viral. It's just amazing. We all love it. How do these videos come about? Are they just off the cuff? Is it like strategically planned? How do these happen? Because we love them, man.
This was all about, the first one was about spreading positivity through a hard, hard time. A lot of people found it hard. A lot of people found it easy being in lockdown. But Kerry was like, because he was in my bubble, he would tell me the movies to do. I would learn the lines and we're having fun. But it made everyone else smile and have fun. And I feel like it's one of the things where after the fight, if you have any suggestions or if you end up being on one, let's work. Let's get it on.
I love it, man. Well, Joseph, we wish you the best of luck. And I'm really excited to see this fight. It's the New Zealand's next fight of the century this Saturday night. And Joseph Parker versus Junior Fa. And please tell your family you said hello. Stay safe. And we'll see you soon, champ.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
We've got fights all around the world. Mm-hmm. We've got Canelo in Miami. We've got Scardina, which is here in Milan, which is where we are now. And we've got Joseph Parker in New Zealand. Yeah. It's a huge triple header. But like I said, we're here in Milan with you. You're on the main event. If you guys out there in TV land don't know, we're with Daniele Scardini. He is one of the biggest fighters here in Italy and nicknamed King Toretto. How are you, man? Nice to see you.
I feel great right now. We just did, just weighed myself, so we did great. I'm super happy right now. Recovery and happy to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen you since Liverpool. You were at the Smith Ryder fight.
Yeah, I was there to watch the fight.
That's your division, super middleweight.
Yeah.
168. What did you think of that fight?
That fight was okay. It was okay. I think it was a good fight. It was a really good fight. Ryder did a good job. But Smith won the fight, but it was a really good fight.
Yeah. And do you enjoy fighting over in Italy, or you enjoy visiting over in Italy?
Yeah, I like the people over there. They really love.
Yeah, huge fight fans.
I mean, that's what I want to do here in Italy. Make the people like them.
Sure.
Real fans, like go crazy, like they do in soccer, but in box too. So
absolutely.
We're working on.
Well, you have a tough test this weekend against Cesar Nunez. What are you expecting in this fight?
I know it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be, he's a tough opponent. He's going to come to do the war. I mean, he's going to come. But with the camp was super good. I feel great. And I feel happy to come back because it's already is like 16 months without fighting. So I feel really good. I feel really happy. And I want to give and do my best. So getting ready for tomorrow.
You know, speaking of your camp, you have been training for what, the last 6 years now in Miami?
Yeah.
At the Fifth Street Gym with our buddy Dino,
who's
here.
Yeah.
What's that like? That's got to be a totally different experience. I mean, you're from
Rozzano,
which is
from Milano.
Sure.
Rozzano is a little city close to here. And I mean, let me tell you, Miami is great, but our gym is something magic. You can feel it's real. It's really magic.
How so? Tell me.
I don't know. You go inside and you feel the energy. I don't know. Like you feel like, Muhammad Ali, he used to train here. Yeah. You really feel it.
Incredible history in the gym.
Yeah. And then a lot of good fighters come to the gym. So we have a lot of sparring partners. So we train so hard. Dino Spencer make me train like an animal. So
you've been fighting with sparring with Durrell.
Yeah, we sparring with Durrell.
Also, Andrade recently.
Yeah,
Boo-boo, Demetrius Andrade.
He come to the gym a lot. When he's in camp, he did two camp in Miami. We spar together. So, it's super good work over there, and it's a good life, a good lifestyle. You know.
You enjoy Miami.
Yeah, I really enjoy it because. I'm super focused over there.
Yeah.
What I'm doing there is just be a professional, 100%. Yeah. That city make me feel good.
From what I understand, you have such a drive. Nobody trains harder than you. Where does this come from?
I think that's my talent, training so hard. I mean, the hard work is my talent.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I really wanna. I mean, it's... I came from nothing, so what I have now, I really want to take care of that, and I know I gotta train so hard.
So your town, like you said, it's just on the outskirts here of Milan. It has a reputation of being a really tough place.
Yeah.
What? Tell me what it was like growing up there.
You know, people there want to be gangster. So people there want to be like a criminal. And I used to live there. I grew up there. That's my city, and I love to be there too. But that's not my life. I mean, I don't want to be like that. I mean, I used to live there. I used to do a lot of bad things, we can say like that. But
what changed? When did it change?
When God talked to me. God talked to me and he changed my life. God changed my life.
What was the moment? When did this happen?
The real moment was when I was in New York. I don't know, for some reason, I say, okay, I want to go to New York, because I know from inside, I know my dream is a tune professional in America. So, no, the first time was in Miami. First time was in Miami, and that's where I met Dino, and was so special. And then I went to New York, and I was alone. In Miami, I was with my brother, but in New York, I was alone. So that's when God talked to me, and he told me, I know it's hard, but that's your way. That's what you have to do.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 19. So then I changed my life.
It changed your life.
Then I come back to Italy. I start training so hard, really hard. And I used to fight for Italian team at WSB too. So, but then when I was ready, I say, okay, coach, I called Dino and say, coach, I want to come. I'm ready to turn professional. I want to turn professional. And we did it. 6 years ago, I moved there in Miami, and wasn't easy. It was super hard, but thank God I'm here.
What got you into boxing in the first place? When did you first walk into a boxing gym, and why?
I walk in the boxing gym because my uncle, he was a fighter. So he always talk me about box. But I know I have this feeling from inside. I mean, I know like when I born, when I was kid, I always was there trying to punch something.
You're a fighter.
Yeah. Be a fighter. So I think, I don't know. But I think for my uncle.
When you grew up, besides your uncle, who did you look up to, fighters that you used to see on TV that you loved? Who's your inspiration, you know, boxing?
The first inspiration was Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I have a tattoo of Mike Tyson. So that was my first inspiration. Then Marvin Hagler.
Yeah.
And you know, Marvin Hagler, he lived in my city. He lived there.
Yes, I saw him with his wife
at
the Hall of Fame a couple years
ago.
He lived
in my city, so when I was like 17, and was just in the beginning, and I met Marvin Hagler. I say, what? And no, I mean, here people don't really know about him. Sure. Not a lot of people know about him.
That's a shame.
I was like, wow, he's like Maradona of the soccer.
Yeah, he's a...
So he's Marvin Hagler. So,
speaking of the tattoo, you said you have the Mike Tyson tattoo. You have obviously many tattoos, and I know you're very religious. What are some of these tattoos? What are the inspiration for your tattoos?
Life, what I do in my life, what I did, what I wanna do, what I wanna be. So, I mark my dreams or whatever in my body.
Does it help inspire you?
Yeah, the most important humildad is like humble, and my Lord.
Yes.
And I did it in my head, so I can see every day. So I never forget about my Lord, God, and never gonna forget about be humble.
And be humble.
So that's why I did it in my head. So every day I watch myself in the mirror and I can see.
I'll tell you what, it's a little hard for you to be humble these days because you're kind of a big deal. I mean, you were just on Dancing with the Stars here, and would you get second place, I heard?
Yeah.
This is big.
Well, it was super good. Dancing with the Stars was super good, was super fun. And
yeah. Do you think being a fighter helps with the footwork?
Yeah, that helped me a lot. I think that helped me a lot with the footwork and opened my mind to learn more things.
Yeah.
To try more things. Because I was there trying to learn at Valzer. Or tango.
Yeah.
And it was so hard for me. So that made to open my mind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it was super good for me. But I think You can be super famous, super rich, but the most important is be humble and have God in your heart. So.
Do you look at what you're doing as very important, because you really are right now one of the main figures in Italian boxing.
Yeah.
And the country's really trying to make a push for it. So do you feel that weight on your shoulders?
I don't feel that way. I feel proud. Yeah. I mean, I really love it. I really love it, and I thank God every day to give me the responsibility. But I mean, it's my dream, so I don't feel that way of myself, you know.
I know you're really close to your mom and also your brother.
Yeah.
Are they very proud of you?
Yeah, and that's make me go more.
Sure. Tell me about King Toretto. This is your nickname. Now, this is from Fast and Furious.
Toretto is my nickname from Fast and Furious, because you know his style, he's in the movie, is like he really care about family, about brothers. He's like a leader. So a friend of mine, he gave me the nickname, and on my first fight in Italy, it was like 2016. Somebody gave me the name of King Toretto. So from that day, they never changed. So everybody called me King Toretto, or just Toretto.
Sure. So now, like I said, we saw each other in Liverpool for the Smith Ryder fight. Well, this weekend, the day after your fight, which is Friday, tomorrow, Canelo is fighting Avni Yildirim.
Yeah.
He's obviously in your division. Do you believe that he is the pound for pound best in the world right now?
Canelo?
Yes.
For sure. He's the best right now. He's the best, and you know, he beat everybody. He beat Kovalev, and nobody think he can beat Kovalev. 175. He beat Carlos Smith. I mean, I think after Carlos Smith, he's the real pound for pound.
He cemented his legacy.
Number one, yeah.
Smith won the World Boxing Super Series.
Yeah, so it's my inspiration. I want to be like him. And I know for sure I'm going to fight against him.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. The final question I want to ask you, what do you want for Danny, King Toretto Scardino? What's your dream? Is it a world championship?
My big dream is be world champion and be on the top five in the world and be world champion. But the big dream is to be an example for the people, for the young people who have a dream, and they maybe don't believe in. So they can see me and say, okay, he's my inspiration. I want to be like him, and if he did it, I want to do it too. So I want to be an example for the world, and talk about God, about follow your dream, about be strong, never give up. That's my real dream. Be like something big, you know, for the people.
Danny, it's so great to see you always, and I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk
to
us.
Thank you.
And we wish you the best of luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Danny
Thank
Scardino. Saul, it's great to see you. Man, it only feels like yesterday that we were in San Antonio for the Callum Smith fight. Without overlooking Callum, you must have known this February date was in the pipeline back then.
Sí, la verdad que sí. Cuando peleé con Callum Smith, pues teníamos pensado volver a pelear rápido en febrero. Pero obviamente siempre estamos a una noche. No es lo que esperamos. Y gracias a Dios se dio la oportunidad de poder estar efectivamente en febrero y aquí estamos.
Yes, once I'd fought Callum Smith, I knew I'd be fighting very soon again in February.
Did you have any time off whatsoever over Christmas and New Year, or was it literally straight back to it?
No, sí. Sí, tuve un mes de ese mes, esas tres semanas de diciembre las tuve de vacaciones y pues pude pasar buena Navidad, Año Nuevo y pues aquí estamos de vuelta.
Yes, I took those 3 weeks off in December, had a great Christmas and New Year, but now I'm back.
It's been a successful period for Eddie's gym. I mean, Ryan Garcia, Frankie Sanchez, and of course, more recently, Oscar Valdez, incredible win over Burchelt. I mean, you guys must just spur each other on all the time.
Así es. La verdad que estoy muy contento, muy orgulloso de todo mi equipo. Y pues tratando de ayudar lo más que se puede a todo el equipo.
That's right. I'm really happy with my team and proud of them. And as a team, we try to help each other as much as we can.
You box Avni Yildirim this Saturday night. Now, much has been made of the fight, but at the end of the day, he's your mandatory. All good champions box off those mandatories. What dangers does he possess?
Es un peleador muy fuerte. Un peleador muy fuerte que va hacia adelante tirando golpes. Un peleador que pega, que aguanta y hay que cuidarnos en todo momento.
He's a really strong fighter. He'll come out on the front foot, throwing punches. He can hit hard, but can also take a shot. So we really have to be on our guard at all times.
Come through this, and the obvious fight to make is with BJ Saunders. Now, we hear he may even be in Miami this weekend. Now, rather than that being a distraction, are you looking at that as a motivation, more of a motivation to win against Yildirim?
A mí me motiva mucho siempre ganar. Ganar para mí es muy importante. Hay pláticas avanzadas con Billy y yo Saunders, pero hasta este momento solamente tenemos este reto que tenemos enfrente.
What really motivates me is winning. Winning for me is huge. You might talk about Billy Joe Saunders and the future, but the only challenge in front of me now is this one.
Now, we've seen this week in the bubble, you're pretty good with the golf club too. You play a bit?
Sí, la verdad que disfruto mucho jugar golf y ahí en el cuarto tengo uno para potear y para chipear y me divierto mucho.
Yes, I really enjoy playing golf. Up in my hotel room, I've got an area where I can practice my putting, my chipping. I have great fun when I play.
To finish on the golf topic, you're at the top of your game. Tiger Woods is at the top of his. He was involved in a terrible accident just yesterday and he's gone through surgery. Do you have any messages of support for Tiger?
Sí, sí, la verdad que espero que se recupere pronto y espero tener la oportunidad de jugar un día con él. Para mí, cuando empecé a jugar golf, he visto todos sus juegos desde 1997, cuando ganó el primer Masters. Y la verdad que es, para mí es el más grande en la historia del golf, por los tiros que hacía, por todo lo que hace, y espero que se recupere pronto y tener la oportunidad un día de conocerlo.
Yes, I hope he gets better soon, and I hope I get the chance one day to play alongside him. When I started playing golf, I pretty much watched everything he did from 1997 onwards, when he won his first Masters. For me, he's the greatest of all time, for his shot making and everything else. So I hope he gets better soon and that one day I get a chance to meet him.
Thanks for your time, Saul. Finally, what can fans expect to see come Saturday night?
No, lo mejor de mí. Yo voy a dar lo mejor de mí como siempre y que esperen una gran pelea. Espero ganar obviamente rápido para que la gente lo disfrute más y si no, pues estaré listo para darles una gran pelea.
The best of me, you can expect the best of me, as always. You can look forward to a great fight. Obviously, I hope to win quickly so people can enjoy it more. But if not, I'm ready to put on a great fight for everyone.
Great catching up. Best of luck Saturday night.
Thanks, David.
All right, so we're going to finish this week with the rapid fire as we always do, but it's going to be a little bit different because this time they're aiming them at me. Okay, here we go. Sean Robinson asks, have you ever laced up and boxed yourself? The answer is yes, and I will say I'm a better announcer than boxer. Okay, Drew Chancer 12 asks, if you could pick one, what was the highlight working with the Brooklyn Nets? Wow, that's a really good question. That's tough. I did 6 years as the voice of the Nets. There were a lot of great moments. I mean, the first game at Barclays Center, the first game against the Knicks, the first games in the playoffs. But there were some really special moments. There was a moment I remember when Kobe Bryant, we were playing the Lakers, and Kobe Bryant was at the top of the key and just split the defense and just dunked on everybody. And it was pretty amazing to watch. You know, certain players calling LeBron James and Steph Curry, you know, LeBron James, when he breaks into a full sprint down the court, it's just something special. And there was another great moment, too. There was a game that was really incredible. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge came and sat courtside, and across the court was Jay-Z and Beyonce. And this was a game that LeBron James was playing in. And we went to a timeout, to a TV break, and Jay-Z and Beyonce went across the court to speak with the Duke and Duchess, and it was really amazing. I'd never seen anything like it. Everyone in the whole arena stood on their feet to watch, everybody, and the players also. It was quite a moment. So that was kind of a highlight. Okay, next question. Alejandro Andre Vega asks, Have you always repeated the fighter surnames, or was it a certain point of your career? Great question. If you find videos of me announcing the amateurs 20 years ago, you will see that I've always done the surnames twice. It's literally since I first started, I've always done it. Great question, and that's the answer. Okay, Julie Sinton asks, what arena has given you the biggest buzz to MC in? That's also a great question, and that's also a hard one to answer, but I will say this. The first time I ever stepped into the ring to announce at Madison Square Garden, there was no feeling like it. It almost felt like it was the biggest ring I'd ever been in. And I will say the Mecca of boxing, Madison Square Garden. That will be my answer for that. Tons of great arenas around the world, but MSG is something magical. Okay, F15R100 asks, what bikes have you currently got? Okay, so I just bought a Triumph Speed Triple. I love it. It's a really cool bike. And like I said, you know, I'm spending so much time in the UK and been living over here that I figured I should support my British brothers and sisters by buying a British machine. So I did that. And in doing that, I sold two of my bikes. I sold a Ducati and I sold one of my Suzuki. So I have two Suzuki Bandits. One of them was the GSF 1200. I sold that one. And now I still have the Suzuki GSF 1250. So it's a Suzuki Bandit and a Triumph Speed Triple. Those are the two bikes that I currently have. Everyone that knows me knows I love motorcycles. And over the years, I've had tons of different bikes. I used to have a Harley, I've had Yamahas, I've had Hondas, many different bikes over the years. And that could change at any point as far as what bikes I'm riding. So I always like to have different bikes for different trips and different things. Okay, final question here is from Sarah Peters. And she asks, how many air miles do you have? It must be a lot. Or no, she says it must be a ton. Yeah, it probably is. I don't know. I haven't counted them, but I will say this. You know, I feel like Eddie Hearn, Frank Smith, and myself, we travel probably more than most people on the planet. I mean, besides like maybe the Secretary of State, even maybe them. And you know, it's funny because even before the boxing with Matchroom, I was traveling a ton. If you go back like in my Instagram and look years back, you'll see, you know, one minute I'm in Korea, the next minute I'm in Chile, the next minute I'm in Singapore, you know, just I'm all over. So I've been world traveling for 25 years and I really love it. Yeah, a lot of air miles, Sarah. That is the answer, but I don't know the specific answer to that. So that's it, guys. That's a wrap for this week's Fight Week's Matchroom Radio. Don't miss the triple header. It's all across the world. I'm in Milan, Italy right now, and that's where we've got the big Scardina versus Nunez fight. Of course, in Auckland, New Zealand, Joseph Parker and Junior Fa. That is a huge, huge fight. You got to check it out. I can't wait. There's such a great storyline for that fight. And of course, Miami, Florida, USA, the face of boxing, the pound for pound king, Saul Canelo Alvarez takes on Avni Yildirim live on DAZN. I'm David Diamante, and we'll check you guys out soon.